Greetings, Earthlings. Thank you for coming to the Roseanne Barr podcast. It's going to be an exciting convo with an exciting genius. But how do you like my hair? It went out of control and I sprayed it with water because it was like total wire. Bad Jew hair day. My hair sometimes becomes like wire and I can't do nothing with it. But anyways, I think I made up for it anyway.
The testosterone's not helping with the hair?
Well, it's supposed to.
Yeah.
It is making my nails a little stronger. And as Jake always points out, I am more pragmatic and calmer.
That is true.
I think that today is going to be a exercise in self-discipline for me because I'm going to attempt not to swear, not to use profanities.
The same thing, but
oh yeah, they are the same thing. That's not two,
but one finger, yeah.
And not to interrupt my guest because, you know, I'm just such a fan. And
all right, I'm gonna hold you to it.
So without further ado, I'd like to introduce a very funny person and a great patriot, great thinker. He's up here in the penthouse of thought, which we always talk about. JP Sears, yay!
Roseanne, thank you for having me. And with your goals for today's show, anything I can do to help fucking support you not swearing. Let me know. I'm here. I have your back. Oh, you see,
my patience is growing. Thank you, brother.
And I don't think you can do it.
She's not.
I did it yesterday. I only said one F word. That was good for 2 hours.
Okay.
You know, I was praying on it before I did it. That's the thing, is I always pray. But you know what? I say the wrong prayers. That's my fault, not God's. Because I'll be saying, help me to, you know, channel the right message. But I didn't say, help me to channel the right message in the right way. See, it's two different things. You know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, I get that. And, you know, I'm just speaking out of my butt here. I wouldn't be surprised if sometimes the right message in the right way purposely has swear words. Because at times it can break through psychological barriers, like a little membrane is put up in people's minds, and the right tastefully done F-bomb or shit can help punch through that. It gets people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
Not absolutely trying to talk you out of your goal.
I think you're fucking right on that. Whoops. No, but I do, because it does punch through. I love the F-word. It is the greatest lyrical word in the world.
Have you ever seen that old clip of the kind of guru cult leader Osho?
Oh, I love Osho.
And did you see the clip he did about all the uses of the word fuck?
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant.
Wasn't he brilliant?
I don't know.
Oh.
Did you see the Netflix documentary on him?
I did.
Yeah, they definitely didn't have a pro Osho slant on that. Mm-mm. I'm sure there's a lot of good things. Yet it was also kind of like, dude, his teachings are good and also sort of looks creepy. So
once they get into having to have sex with everybody, they always violate their own message, but they cannot keep it in their pants, these
they
men.
They all seem to
something's
do it.
Wrong with them.
Yeah, that yoga guy, Bikram, I mean, he was, you know, actually assaulting women. Not
oh,
just having
I didn't know
sex.
That.
Yeah.
Was that John of God, Oprah's John of God? He did it too, right?
Well, that's another one. I just heard about him.
Yeah.
Apparently, John of God was doing legit healing, like kind of miracles. And then you find out, oh, and he's having sex with everyone.
He can't keep it in his pants.
Yeah.
All of them are like that. I don't know. It goes to their brain.
I would think so.
The Bible says that men's downfall is bad food and bad women. I think it's true.
And I would guess those guys, after many years of seeing people see them with immense power, they make them their source of divine inspiration. I would guess a lot of them actually believe their own rationalizations, like, oh, God wants me to have sex with all these women. They're, you know, it's a way I transmute power.
What's-his-name said, the polygamy guy that's in jail, Warren Jeffs, he told them this is the way that God transmits his love through me to you, to the 8-year-old girls he was having sex with in the holy bed there. But you can see how they get that way, because what nobody ever says, and like I'm starting to go off on it, and people are getting mad at me, of course, because I can't stay out of trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That's one of the things people like about you. Hmm. And I think I don't think you get into trouble just for the sake of getting into trouble. I think you're always aiming, pursuing truth. You obviously you don't acquiesce to politically correct BS or being obedient to the narrative. So that's if that's true. What gets you in trouble, good.
Because you know what? They made all these women into Jezebels. And that's why these men fall, because they get all that Jezebel and her sexuality. Because, you know, and then they don't tell women what they're doing is wrong.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, a man finds you attractive. And that's all that counts for you, you brainless whore. You know what I mean? It's the wrong message.
It is. And speaking of documentaries on this stuff, did you watch the Waco documentary from a couple of years ago?
I did.
That is also creepy. Like, especially when, I mean, can you imagine being the husband in a relationship and this David Koresh guy says, God told me he wants me to have sex with your wife. By the way, he told me he doesn't want you to have sex with your wife. And then those men actually allow it. Mm-hmm. It's like they deserve what's coming to them.
Mm-hmm.
Not to...
Mind control.
Cucking for Jesus is what that is.
It is. It's crazy.
Do you think that...
Well, you know, that's what they used to do back in Pharaoh's time, in the biblical times. It was, and also then... you know, Pharaoh, when he had illegitimate children with his harems and such, well, only the first son would inherit. None of the other sons did. Forget the daughters. They never got a dime because they were just women, you know, cows that talk. But only the firstborn son inherited. So he had all these other sons that weren't getting nothing, and they was getting mad, so they rebelled. So then they were made like princes and knights and such like that, so they could get a piece of the inheritance too. And that's how they went and founded all these other countries, specifically Switzerland, in 1291, where they laundered all their war grift. But anyways, the Pharaoh had, and all of them had, what's called the right of the first night. Whenever a woman's, they got to sleep with her the night before the wedding, the lord of the manor. Yeah. In feudalism. And so they said that's how they sowed their wild seed, because a lot of those kids would be there, so they would be loyal to the crown.
Dang. And I think the movie Braveheart starts off that way, where the king has the first right on the wedding night. Just
that's what animals do, you know. They'll go and kick a pregnant if they're invading, they'll kick the baby out of the pregnant and then try to impregnate them with their baby.
Wow.
It's warfare. It's like low level chakra instinct warfare of the male.
Yeah, it's, man, I wish, I want to be a cult leader. So I can get in on that.
Yeah, but then, you know, they always seem to go, getting younger and younger in who they want to have the sex with.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And our modern day kings, not that they're actual kings, they're tyrants.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look Epstein's whole thing. Obviously, they sex traffic people, kids, to no one, because nobody's been convicted, not one name named. But that's what they were doing. You have these tyrannical kings who think they have a right to be as promiscuous as possible, and they get younger and younger and younger. It's
yeah, and then he trains them to be. He trains them to be the perfect sex slave with MK Ultra sex kit and programming, and then you know what they do, and Satanism, you know, because it was a satanic cult too. And then you know what that qualifies them for? The beautiful ones being the wife of a CEO, right? They know how to do all that courtly shit that courtly stuff that women of that ilk and class do. You know, entertain, where they suck the baby's blood and all that other stuff they do.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But yeah, it is a world run by Satan, I think.
I agree 100%. I think, you know, there's a million nuanced issues of corruption happening in our world. But the macro, what's really going on, in my opinion, is it's spiritual warfare.
Yeah, it is.
It's Satan versus God. It's people who are doing the bidding of the devil. And I think a lot of them don't know they're doing
the
bidding of the
devil. No, they have no idea.
Best way to control someone is to make sure they don't know that you're controlling them.
Yeah.
So I think that's what the devil does. And
here's what I heard. I love this quote. Safest place for the devil to hide? In the church.
I bet. Yeah, the devil masquerades as an angel in disguise.
Yeah.
I think one of the things that keeps people from waking up to what's going on, which, by the way, I think more and more people are waking up. It's beautiful. But, you know, I used to do this. People are expecting, hey, if there was evil in the world, they would come out and say, hey, I'm a evil tyrant. I'm here to do some horrible stuff. No, like... You look at what the Nazis did.
Yeah.
They tried to disguise themselves as doing good. So that whole notion, best place for the devil to hide is in the church. It's incredibly true.
Yeah.
And it's like, would the devil be willing to deceive people? That's the least of what he's capable of.
Those guys are all having sex with their parishioners too.
Yeah.
And doing worse. All the rabbis, all them.
Are they?
Yeah, all of those holy men.
So same thing in the Catholic Church happening elsewhere.
All of them. All them holy men ain't nothing but devil worshippers.
Yeah.
Don't you think that's why they get into it?
Allegedly.
Don't you think that's why they get... It's the old saying, does the power corrupt, or are they corrupt to begin with and they're attracted to the power?
Corrupt to begin with and attracted to power.
That's what I think, too. One thing you were saying, and we'll bring it up later, but when we were talking about RFK, you were like, he seems... Like, he doesn't really want to be president of service. And I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't trust people that want to be president, that want that power. It's just like those cult leaders.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the people who want the power, the Hillary Clintons. Yeah. Shout out to the picture of you and Hillary behind me.
I know, that was a fun party that night. I left early because I didn't want to see what happens after everyone's
good
drunk.
Good call. Yeah. Jeez. But seeing the Hillary Clinton-esque people who want to be in power, it's like Lord of the Rings, where you've got Gollum and all these creepy people. They can't handle the power of the ring. It just corrupts them.
Uh-huh.
They care about nothing else other than the power in this ring. And the ring, metaphorically, in today's world, it's control, it's fame, it's being known. Money to an extent.
It's the control of other people, ain't it?
I think that's the primary thing. Some people say, you know, the whole pandemic and everything else they do, it's just a money grab. I don't think so. I think money is somewhere on their agenda, but money just gives you more ability to control. And I do think control is ultimately what they're after. I think the God's way is freedom. That's why he gives us free will. So we have free will. We're not controlled, nor are we controlling anyone. And my definition of evil is anyone who tries to control anyone else in a way that's not in their best interest. While God frees, I think evil, the devil, it constricts, it controls. And we're seeing what I would call the alleged work of the devil, just control all over the place.
Mind control.
Or at least attempted to control. Mind control.
If you control your mind, you control your soul.
Yeah. Especially if you get the mind to constipate its psychological
sphincter. Yeah, contract is the word, yeah.
So like the light of the soul, it can't penetrate into someone's conscious awareness.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And they turned everything upside down. So that in upside down world, clown world, it actually makes sense on backward day, which is every day. That's what it looks like to me. It's so absurd.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like I said, our job is to mock. But it's hard to mock the absurd.
It is. One of the comedic principles, not that I need to tell you, comedic principle of exaggeration. But when you look at the world where these tyrants, then the narrative and everybody doing the bidding, what they're doing, it's already so exaggerated, so absurd, that it's hard to make it more absurd while right. having it look realistic, because what's going on in reality, it doesn't even look realistic. Men can get pregnant. Look at that man winning in the swim meet. Look at that man who just won the powerlifting championship in the women's division. It's so absurd already.
But wasn't, how far ahead of his time was Andy Kaufman with that wrestling woman thing? He was so, he was prescient.
He was, yeah. There's been a lot of stuff. And I'm forgetting the example I was just going to think of. Let's just pretend it was going to be smart. But then also, like, a little example, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Junior, where it's like, hey, here, it came out in 94. Here's this absurd idea. A man is pregnant, and it's so absurd.
Oh, yeah.
They just made a movie out of it. Like, not a good script, not really a amazing art form, but just the absurd idea. And now we have pregnant men on the covers of magazines. You get canceled if you claim that men can't get pregnant. Just,
I'll tell you what, that birth has gotta hurt. Coming out through the penis like that. Yeah. I mean, I know your vagina gets stretched out. I've had five children, but I don't know about that penis. I mean, I don't know how they're going to have to get some kind of plug after to keep their urine from.
Well, I identify as a doctor, so let me tell you the medical reality of this right now. Uh-huh. These men who are pregnant, I don't think they have penises.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Special breed of man. I looked up on Wikipedia the other day. I was researching some kind of video, and I know Wikipedia is stupid and corrupt and, you know, propaganda.
I take it as the truth.
As you should. I'm doing my best to learn my way and acquiesce my way into bowing down what Wikipedia and the evil people are that run it. But I looked up, like, wow, there's a lot of human men getting pregnant. Does this happen elsewhere? Apparently, there's one species of fish.
Starfish.
Is it starfish? Mm-hmm. Where the males can get pregnant.
Yeah, they carry the embryo, and then they, you know, give birth to the eggs, the fertilized eggs.
Do you have a degree in starfishology?
I do. I've studied it. I did a lot of study on trans issues because my friend wrote a book, and she wrote a book called Transsexual Empire in the 60s, and she was heretofore immediately deplatformed, denied tenure. They tried to make her homeless and kill her, which in fact they did in the long run, in so many words, a Harvard professor. And they did that to every woman professor who didn't bow down.
Wait, did she write the book in the 60s, or was it written more recently just about the 60s?
No, she wrote Transsexual Empire in 68.
Okay.
About the engine, you know, it was basically about cloning and bioengineering of the human being.
Wow. She was ahead of her time.
Well, she was a professor with seven PhDs. In
not
philosophy.
Impressive, by the way.
Well, this was back in the 60s when it was impressive. These were real doctorates.
When women took that instead of gender studies in college, you know, where they actually became linguists and historians and shit, you know.
Well, I don't think that's a credible source.
Only
seven PhDs. Uh-huh.
But it's a fascinating book. I have it here. If you'd like, I'd love to buy you a copy and send it to you.
Oh, yeah.
It's so prescient. And it's all to pursue a political agenda, which is basically the same old, to defend, you know, the disintegration of women's rights.
Yeah. And man, are they doing that.
They're trying.
Like, next we're probably going to see women banned from women's sports. Because
That would be smart, though.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
You know what I was...
They'd be record setting.
I might actually watch one of those.
I know. Like, and I agree with that agenda. Let's ban women from women's sports, because no offense, they kind of suck.
Yeah, they do kind of suck. They're not as good as men.
They're the one of the most beautifully Hippocratic 1984 in reality things I've ever seen. I was doing a reaction video to a pregnant man, like a person of female origin on TikTok. you know, lives as a man and, you know, big belly, very pregnant. And he was saying, yeah, women, you don't own the term mother anymore.
Right, I saw that.
Which was Christ. So beautiful because mm-hmm. here is a man telling women, you don't, like, if you believe.
Cis women.
Yeah, cis women. Yeah. So if you believe this person's a man, as you are dutifully supposed to, mm-hmm. then what you're getting is a man telling women, you don't own the term mother anymore. You don't own pregnancy. That is a man literally just taking motherhood mm-hmm. from women. The obliteration of women's rights.
Yeah. And being. And that's all like the whole, the whole Luciferian plot is to get the kids.
Yes.
Because, you know, they got to have their snacks.
So they got to get rid of the dad and the mom, mm-hmm. male and female, the protectors, right?
Let's get in. Dads are the protectors for sure.
Because pedocrats, as I call them, they don't care what sex or gender a child is because, you know, the part of the child they like, all kids have.
Mm. Is that the blood?
No, the butt.
Oh,
the butthole. Yeah.
The butt and the mouth, that's why they call it the bonus hole. The vagina is called the bonus hole. According to all the insurance companies now, they call the vagina the bonus hole, which pretty much right there proves they are pedocrats, because it's the butt and the mouth, those are the primary holes. And that's what all pedos do, because they can't have sex with a little girl. She doesn't really have like but half an inch of a vagina.
Yeah.
So they have to go in through the butt, which is Satan's preferred way, and that's called opening the third eye in satanic ritual abuse.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's why they get the panda eyes, where their eyes are black. You've seen all those pictures. Like, that's what Lady Gaga is mocking with her panda eyes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Why do they get their eyes looking that way?
Because of their anus.
Being anally raped.
Trauma. Trauma.
Would you think of the whole Sound of
Freedom? But I kid Hollywood.
Yeah.
What?
Would you think of the whole Sound of Freedom phenomenon?
I was so happy that it finally went in America's heads.
Yeah.
But I was kind of upset. Not upset, and I don't want to criticize it, because I was glad that it opened the door. But it is just the top 10% of the truth, and it isn't in South America. It's here in the United States. This is the center of child trafficking through our border. It's the center of the world and the center of child sex slavery, as well as child labor slavery, is in the United States of America. So they got all these MK Ultra programs that they run on us, so we never look at that. But then it's so corrupt. It is so corrupt, flesh peddling.
Yeah.
In America. And people are like, we've got to go down there to Colombia and help. Well, why don't you look at your neighbor?
Yeah.
But we can't see what's right in front of our face with this mind control. You can't see what's right in front of your face.
It's interesting. And with Sound of Freedom, seeing the mainstream media establishment mm-hmm. smear it, say, oh, Sound of Freedom, it's a QAnon conspiracy
theory.
Didn't
you love, though, how God works? As soon as they said that, the next week or a month later, the guy's arrested for child porn, the producer. Did you see that?
He wasn't the producer of what?
He wasn't. He was one of the people that, because it was crowdfunded, so he was one of like 5,000 people that.
No, I'm talking about the CNN producer and the ABC producer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That said, this is nothing but a QAnon.
Oh, no, the headline was a reporter who debunked Pizzagate.
Right.
Arrested for child pornography, which
like
is one of the greatest headlines ever.
3 billion pictures of violent child porn.
Wow.
It's
a scumbag.
They're all like in it together, and Americans are too damn dumb or doped or something.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, first of all, like that CNN guy, and then like Rolling Stone saying, yeah, Sound of Freedom, it's a superhero movie for dads with brain worms.
Yeah.
I loved that the media smeared it so much for two reasons. One, it was them raising their hand saying, we're protecting child sex traffickers.
Yeah.
Right.
They identified themselves. They're so stupid. That's what they did.
They did it. Jason Aldean, too, made a song number one.
Exactly. And when they do that, when we see these corrupt, evil people, or they're media that they're armed with, mm-hmm. when we see them smear something, it makes that something grow. Because we're, devil is telling me that's bad. Let me look into it. Mm-hmm. There's probably something good
about that. Absolutely.
They're now
it's in the Bible. No weapon formed against me shall prosper or have dominion. Hello, that's the word dominion. Yes. I mean, God is the funniest guy in the whole universe.
He's pretty good.
He's so funny. The time I knew God was funny was when our neighbor, whose dad was a dentist, he ran away from home and became homeless and died of dental disease.
No shit.
It was so morbidly funny that God would...
That's so precise.
It's so horrible, but...
Yeah.
There's always a twist to the way God shows us stuff.
Yeah, and like you mentioned before we were on air, when it comes to prayer, part of it is asking for the wisdom to have the awareness for how the prayer is answered. And then also just like looking at where's the serendipities of life? Where's the signals from God? Where's mm-hmm. the signs? If we look hard enough, like they're so obvious, yeah. but we see hilarious things like that. Or the, forgot the guy's name, but he was a big person bringing the Russian hoax on us. You know, Trump's a Russian asset. Now he's arrested for colluding with Russia.
I know, it's so great. It's just, you can't get fun. How are you going to make a joke out of that?
He was the joke. It's already made. You don't got to make a joke out of it because he already did it. Or God did it.
Yeah. Well, the Book of Esther, which I study a lot because I always was a student, you know, because that was important to me since I was a little girl. But the Book of Esther is all about coincidences. Hmm. Coincidences being the hand of God, if you have the eyes to see it.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking about all these coincidences. Everybody's like, oh, that's just a coincidence. You've overlooked something very stunning.
Yeah.
Especially when there's like 17 of them in a row.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, how did you manage to not see that?
Yeah.
You're decipherability gene is like off the mark.
Well, how about like when the FBI loses evidence and it's always for it helps Biden or a Democrat? Well,
that is just a coincidence.
Yeah.
I mean, every mistake is for one side.
Those are coincidences. Yeah, I think present day you're either a conspiracy theorist or you're a coincidence theorist, and only one of them uses their brain.
That's really a good way to put it. And then when all the conspiracies come true, and you don't go, what a coincidence. What about that?
Yeah. And I think the just chalking things up to, oh, that's a coincidence, it keeps us from needing to go to the trouble of thinking.
Yeah.
And it keeps us from needing to go to the trouble of considering things that are pretty freaking uncomfortable to consider, because people love to live in the coffin of their comfort zone. Like I think the most
coffin of
their comfort zone. That's not where life is. It is like, cool, you might technically have a pulse, but you're not alive if you're just living in the coffin of your comfort zone. But you get
life is out here where the risk is 100%. And the pain, that's where you learn
and that's where you grow. Like a comedian, they get on stage for the first time, like it's a 10 out of 10 discomfort. Or you're trying a new joke, that's uncomfortable. Or you're asking the girl out or the guy out who, like, you know, you think is out of your league. You're getting uncomfortable. Like, nobody has ever sat there in their comfort zone and said, I feel really alive now.
That's true.
We feel alive and we grow when we're outside of our comfort zone. Yet I think I would say this is a mind program where for decades they've been trying to convince Americans and people around the world, comfort is your friend. If something's uncomfortable, it's going to be bad for you. And, you know, self-responsibility, don't worry about that. Just like depend on the government. And I think that's what keeps people weak, because
sure does.
If they convince themselves, I have an allergy to discomfort, then they're going to keep themselves in the coffin of the comfort zone, which means they're going to keep themselves weak. because we get stronger when we're willing to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We get stronger when we're willing to say what we know is true, even though it might get us canceled. It might go against the grain.
Absolutely. Because when you break, you get scar tissue, which makes you stronger.
Absolutely.
You don't get stronger without breaking. Absolutely. And then learning how to put yourself back together. You just don't grow without that. And you don't do none of that without risk. And people who think they're so happy, I hate happy. You know, I just hate that happy. I hate that.
We should just clip that there. Hate happy.
Yeah.
I'm anti-happy.
The happy people, I'm like, yes, you are blind, deaf. You're just not even here.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I can't stand is people who talk about forgiveness all the time because they ain't nothing but guilty.
Yeah.
I want to put that together. They ain't nothing but guilty because not one of them ever talks about asking for forgiveness for something bad they did. They never say that.
Yeah.
They're always hiding some shit.
They are.
Excuse me.
But how beautiful is it when you see someone actually own up, take responsibility and say, hey, I did this.
Right.
I'm sorry. It is so powerful. But I wouldn't know.
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
When have you seen that?
That's a good question. I do it sometimes in my life. I've avoided it other times.
Once or twice.
But like there's a great book called, by Jocko Willink. The hell is it?
I can look it up if you...
Extreme ownership.
Okay.
Good leaders take extreme ownership. Mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, even if they themselves didn't do it, they're the first ones to raise their hand and say, that's my fault. Maybe I didn't lead my people correctly. Maybe I made a bad decision. But when you see someone do that, like, first of all, that's so uncomfortable for them to do. If someone's just committed to living in the coffin of their comfort zone, they're not going to do that.
No, they're not the balls.
But someone with actual courage and they've got a service mindset, they'll get uncomfortable. They'll own it. But the cool thing is, how much more do you trust someone when you've watched them own a mistake they've made, they've taken responsibility, they've apologized? You actually trust those people. But when you have a dipshit like Hunter's dad, where, like, cool, he's ruined everything under the sun, the Afghanistan withdrawal, the border inflation, $20 million accidentally in his bank account, takes zero ownership, and you don't trust him.
Right.
For good reason, you don't trust him.
Yeah, for real good reason.
Yeah.
Not the Dems, though.
No.
They're like, at least he's not Trump. At least he didn't try to make peace with the Jews and the Arabs.
Yeah. What do you like?
That's half of our fundraising, for God's sake. He's got to go.
Yeah.
What do you like best about warmongers?
They are.
They're haters.
They are. They.
And then they put the worst thing they can find out there, which, you know, manipulators of children, they got to go.
They
got to go.
I don't know how anything but the death penalty is appropriate for that.
Right.
I'm not necessarily a huge death penalty guy, but just when someone uses children.
I don't believe the state should kill them. I say general population in prison.
You used to say make them marry Tom Arnold is what you used to say.
No, that was Osama bin Laden.
Whoever. You have to live with fucking Rob Reiner for 6 months.
Oh, yeah. You have to have dinner with Rob Reiner.
Listen to him talk.
Or Stephen King.
Yeah.
God.
He's gone off the loony end lately,
hasn't
he? He's
nutty. And then I found this thing. He wrote a book, and it's about, it was Dr. something, and it's this doctor who gets these kids, check this out, and he drains their spirits, where that's his food, his louche. He gets children and makes them captive and then drains their spirits to make him stronger and younger. Hello, adrenochrome.
Right.
No wonder he's all jacked up over Trump.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Have you seen his tweets?
Stephen King?
Yeah.
No, I hear, like, when I listen to Joe Rogan's podcast, a lot of times they'll talk about it. So I've heard about some of them, but they're nutty.
Yeah.
I mean, here...
Trump is the worst thing since... Oh, my God.
There are people really brainwashed. I used to be a little brainwashed about Trump. like back in the 2016 election, I'm not proud to say it, but I didn't vote.
I didn't either.
Did vote, I would have voted for Trump. It, my thought was just like Hillary, who you're pictured with right here, which is probably evidence of a lot of crimes. I might burn that picture if I were you.
Oh, I gave a ton to the Dems back then.
Did you?
Yeah. I gave them all my hard-earned
Lifelong Democrat over here.
And my parents, too.
One of the beautiful things about you, and to me it's a great quality about other people, is someone who's willing to change their mind.
Yeah, that's life.
It's a rare commodity nowadays, but it's a sign of strength. It's so simple, but it really is a sign of strength because it's so rare. But anyway, back in 2016, my biggest thing was like, hey, I'm just afraid of Hillary. I think she is crooked. I don't want her in office. So I'd rather have Trump in office. But, you know, he's a racist and he's other things that I heard the media say. And I never really watched the news back then, but I would hear stuff. And then when COVID hit, I'm watching the way Trump is, and I'm watching a lot of the establishment rail against him, even though, you know, they already had. And I'm like, all right, wait, I like what this guy's saying when I listen to what he's saying, not hearing other people tell me. Mm-hmm. So
like
I started
hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine, saying that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Oh, they tried to kill him for that, and ivermectin.
And those things save lives.
And sunlight.
Yeah, and sunlight. Yeah. And he did say, like, you know, maybe we can inject Lysol.
No, he didn't say that.
He said something about Lysol.
No, there was a study. Well, you know,
I'm not even going to go into
He said there was some exciting evidence that certain things happen, and which was true. It was a real study. And they're like, he wants you to drink bleach.
Yeah. Well, they said Joe was taking horse tranquilizers.
Oh, they just approved ivermectin for COVID. Do you know that?
The bastards.
Which is kind of like, well, you know, fuck you guys. We've already been taking it.
We know what you did.
And we don't need your permission. Yeah. It is good the general people who kind of like do as they say. It is good that it's approved. But man,
I mask shame some people without knowing it because I do have a mild form of Tourette's.
So uncomfortable.
I think you just blame your condition.
Yeah. Well, I try to control it because that's the real thing is self-control. Everybody can go around talking about they this and that and they did that and this, but nobody can control their own self. That's real self-mastery is all that matters. Yeah. That's the real war. The real spiritual war, right?
So
these people come in. I was at the Comedy Store because I want to talk to you about comedy. And these two comics I remember from 150 years ago, they're a couple now, I guess. I guess they're different genders. But anyway, so they come in and they're both wearing a friggin' mask. And this was just in November of last year when it was already over. And I couldn't help myself. Plus, I'd been drinking. And I go, what the F are you doing? You're wearing masks. And they got all tender in their feelings. And they go, yes, we are wearing masks, Roseanne. They almost start crying. And they go, I don't feel comfortable here. Let's leave. And they are comics.
That's incredible. Comics who are intended to mock everything.
Right.
Like, mock what you believe, mock what you don't believe, just mock everything.
Right.
And they couldn't take
it. Starting with yourself and your dumbass mask.
Exactly.
Right?
I was just on I think it's a Reddit community. Someone showed me. I got into it. It's a zero COVID community where these people are still, were summer, late summer of 2023, still extremely committed to living in as social isolated as possible, always masking up, like people posting like, hey, I need to get a roommate, but a roommate who still will mask because, you know, we're all in the middle of this deadly pandemic.
Oh my God.
It's incredible to see some people still so committed to living out of fear. And also at a deeper level, man, I feel sorry for him because living out of fear, that's the worst quality of life.
Yeah,
we all know
that'll kill you, literally kill you.
Because those fear chemicals,
yeah, you get elevated cortisol. Yeah. Cortisol accelerates
your aging. It's the number one killer, actually, is stress and anxiety. The number one killer of humans.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Think about it. Everything can be attributed to stress and anxiety. Heart disease, fucking you name it.
They're trying to kill us. Let's just be real. And talk about taking bets on how we're going to die too. Like this many will go of cancer. You know the Bible thing: who by fire, who by flood.
Yeah.
You know who by disease. Then they're taking bets on it.
I believe. Do you know who Dr. David Martin is? And I believe this was him that said it. Please forgive me if I'm quoting the wrong person, but with people, so many people allegedly dying all of a sudden from who knows what.
Global warming.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably you're 18 having a heart attack probably is global warming. But on that trend, he's saying in the next, what the heck was it, like 5 or 8 years, we'll have somewhere between 50 and 100 million people dying because global warming can take a while in the system. I mean, some people just drop dead pretty quick. But
they say they're coming out with an inoculation for global warming, which I'm really looking forward to that. The bad thing is you got to take it right in your eyeball. But I'm willing to do
seriously?
It.
No. Oh. But anyway, Dr. David Martin.
Does she always tell jokes?
Yeah, it's like, who said it was pathological with you? Somebody said it was pathological.
Michael Malice.
Yeah.
He said you're pathological for telling jokes?
Yeah, her humor is pathological. It's not like she's not a comedian. It's a good time. It's like there's something wrong. It just can't. She can't stop.
I can't turn it off.
He was probably right.
I think he is.
1,000% was he right. That's her coffin of comfort.
That is my comfort cup. I like to say it serious to see how people will, when they get that, their eyes kind of twinkle a little. They're like, she is crazy.
Isn't it beautiful seeing that state of confusion in people?
Yeah.
I don't know if she's being serious. If she is, she's crazy. Or I don't know if she's joking and they just don't know. It's masterful to get people there.
I love it. I used to do it on TV all the time for my, like when I was on the panels after the talk shows, do it all the time. And I love to throw the host off, you know. They were really easy to throw off, those guys. Well, their shit's over. You know, they was out having their thing about the writer's strike. It was so funny to me. And they said, pretty soon all the scripts are going to be written by artificial intelligence. And, you know, I'm pissed at them because they all turned me into the Gestapo. And I said, that's great because they'll be way funnier than you fuckers are. It'll be great. They'll actually know how to construct a joke. But anyways...
Yeah, instead of just changing the color of the character.
Yeah.
Like the actual right.
I wanted to talk to you because you were saying you're going out on tour 2 times a month for 2 weekends. I go, hey, how many shows do you do on a weekend? I thought it was going to say 4, 9.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, oftentimes, you know, a light weekend is usually 5 shows and then sometimes doing upwards of 10 shows. Just, you know, if they keep selling out, the club will ask, do you want to add another show? Yeah. Do you want to add another show? Yeah. Like I love doing it.
Talk about pathological.
I know a little bit.
And you say you enjoy it. You don't care if you do it 10 times.
I do. Yeah. The in 1 weekend, the most amount of shows I've done is 15.
Jeez.
And that was, you know, and they're 60 minute sets. That 15 shows, that was, the heck was it? Tacoma, Washington, maybe a year and a half ago. And it was like everybody was still doing half capacities in clubs. So it was really easy to sell the shows out. And the club's going to, like, they're bringing me in. The club and their staff, they're hurting because they've been through this whole BS of close down your business. So if people still wanted to come out and see me and I want to do something to help support the club, I just kept saying yes, like half capacity shows, let's do as many as we can. So we did 15 that weekend.
Good Lord.
Which was, you know, it was hard. But it also, it makes it so now if I'm doing 5 shows in a weekend, makes it feel like a really light workload. I remember years ago, the first weekend I did 4 shows, like 2 on Friday, 2 on Saturday, it about killed me. I after the first show, I was just like, how
are you gonna do 2?
Yeah. But yeah, it's just such a great joy to be able to be with people in person, doing the dance, human connection.
Yeah. watching people laugh, isn't it the greatest?
It is.
And knowing you brought them to it.
Yeah. It. Out of everything I get to do, being there live with an audience, it's by far the most satisfying. You know, it's,
I think so too.
You know, you know way better than me. You've been at it way longer. It's like a dance. Mm-hmm. And if you have the microphone, you're leading the dance. It's just, man, there's no higher joy.
I love it. I'm going to go tonight and do a Kill Tony.
Yeah.
But that's my favorite thing, to see new comics and then try to find something good to say to them. Because everybody likes to roast young ones. But so I try to be the mom and say something good.
Oh, you do? That's awesome. Yeah, so you help build them up while Tony and some of the other guys are tearing
them down.
Oh,
the other
guys.
Tony's the assassin.
He's good at it, too.
But, yeah, because, you know, I'm too rich and famous to be roasting anybody new.
Yeah, that would be really shitty if you just sat there and be like, you suck.
If they were professional comics.
Well, yeah, you should, actually. But no, these are... Yeah. Well, you've seen this
show. Well, I do roast the comics up in the green room.
No, you humanize Tony Hinchcliffe, which is not an easy thing to do.
He's a sweetheart.
He is, but I'm talking Tony the performer. He's one of the worst, like, most vile people I've ever seen.
He's a serial killer.
Yeah, he really is.
He is.
Cold-blooded.
He dares, and that's what's great. Talk about the risk. Yeah. I mean, he's there to push the envelope all the way over the cliff.
Oh, his George Floyd joke, have you heard it?
No. Don't even bring it up.
No?
No.
Okay, it's really good.
No,
though.
You can't repeat
it. I'll tell you off the air. Oh, you're right. I'll tell you off the air.
And when you're when you're doing Kill Tony, and you know, for people that don't know, it's new comics or sometimes people who have never even done comedy.
Yeah, they get 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
I think it's 1 minute.
Oh, is it 1 minute?
I think it is one minute.
Christ, it feels like three.
So that's Johnny's fault.
Apparently hundreds of people sign up and, you know, just a handful get their names drawn to go on stage for their 1 minute set that night in front of a panel of comedians.
Yeah, including, it's the meanest.
When you see a new comedian go up, do you get nervous? Like, I get so uncomfortable watching someone because they're doing one of the more uncomfortable things you can imagine.
Yeah, but they're daring to do it.
They are.
You know, like that thing, that all credit goes to the man in the arena?
Yes.
So I respect that they took a step into the arena, which is the death arena.
Yeah.
You know, because you're risking death.
Going in with a lion.
Yeah, and it's a big-ass lion, too.
Yeah.
With many heads. But they're doing it, so I respect all of, you know, that. The balls, or whatever you want to call it, the courage to do it. You know, so I love all comics. It's a certain breed of human.
Yeah, it is. Who, present day, who are some of your favorite comics?
Oh my God, I'm so bad on names. I see all their faces flashing in front of my...
J.P. Sears, I think is how you pronounce his name.
Oh yeah, J.P. Sears.
Never heard of him.
But
he got me... Your show... My interview with you, that got us the most views of any show I've ever done.
Oh,
so
wow.
Thank you.
Well, I'm honored.
Everyone loves you. I heard of you through my friend Kathy O'Brien. She's like, because I was depressed after they tried to assassinate me. They did assassinate my character and my character. But Kathy would say, you know, you've got to watch J.P. Sears. This guy is going to lift up your spirits. And I was at her house, you know. So she put you on, and I roared. I go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I was so happy because I thought they had shut us all down. But there you were, like a beacon of light. And so I was very thrilled to interview you now twice. You've been a wonderful guest.
Oh, well, thank you for that, and thank you for strengthening my narcissism.
Oh, I was going to give you a clue for the narcissism. Yeah. As the Bible says. The thing about the human is that its most overwhelming desire is to receive the soul. And there's two kinds of ways to receive. There's desire to receive. That's what the human is about, the soul. And so there's two ways to do it. There's desire to receive for myself alone. That's ego, which in Hebrew means Satan.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And then the godly way is the desire to receive for myself in order to share.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's triangulation of all that we are down here to fight. And so, like you say, to be of service. And that is what comedy's always been to me, is to be of service, to make people think just a little and do that breathing out together.
Yeah.
Because it's real magic. I mean, I hate to use the word magic, but it's transcendent. Transcendent.
It is. And you know, before we were on air, we were talking about creativity and how creativity is an act of receiving, where I believe we receive a message, an idea from God.
Yeah.
We receive it and then we share.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful way to share, and a beautiful way of being of service, and a beautiful way of helping shine God's light as best we can.
Yeah, like when I'm doing something that occupies my physical body, that's when God will put the best jokes in my head, like especially when I'm digging weeds. I won't ever be sitting down at a table so much as writing it. But when I'm doing something in the earth, growing something or helping somebody, it really comes in. Bing! Yeah. And I always go, thank you. Of course, I take credit for it.
Of course.
And he knows I'm going to. So, he's all right with it.
Yeah. What's your process, JP, when you come up with a video idea or comedy?
Yeah. Do you write every day?
I do, and I have different processes for video writing versus stand-up.
Yeah.
They're, like, super different. With video writing, I've just got a block of time, usually 8 a.m. to 11 a.m., where that's my writing time. Mm-hmm. And I've got a production schedule of, like, a lot of videos being released, so I've had to get in the routine and kind of train my mind. This is when we're doing creativity. And I think it's not so much, hey, I'm training my mind to be creative. I think it's more training my mind to allow the creativity to come through. Where
yeah, it's a muscle, for
it,
sure.
It is. And anyway, so with comedy videos, I'm typically fairly topical as of late, where what's going on in the world, what are the lies, hypocrisy, and corruption that I want to mock in video. So when I feel an emotion about something, you know, Carl Jung said, feelings are the language of the soul. Mm-hmm. So when I feel an emotion about some given topic, I know, all right, that's a video idea. Mm-hmm. And I might be picking up chicken eggs or pulling weeds. So I'll make a note in my phone, just one line, here's the idea. Mm-hmm. And then in the mornings, I'll write it out. And then with stand-up, my process is, it sounds like more similar to yours, where the ideas will come to me usually when I'm distracted by doing some kind of mundane task. And then I just open up the notes in my phone and at the very least write down the basis of the idea. And then I'll go back and just start playing around with, like, how could this be funny? Or where do I want to go? And then, you know, of course, test driving it on stage, and it's like, well, that one was definitely shit. On to the next, or working it out a little bit more. So I'm curious, for you, when you're pulling weeds, you get an idea, what's your process from there?
Well, I file it, and then it's all in my head, you know. I rarely put it on paper or write it. I file it in my head, and then when I get about five on the same subject, I'll start thinking about it. Like, it takes a long time, and then it just forms itself. Mm-hmm. Like, while I'm doing something else, it'll go bing, 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 like in Vegas when you pull the lever and it's five cherries. It'll just start lining up. Bing, 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 bing. Oh, I see. I can start with that bit, weave these jokes through it, and then end up here and also here. You know, it's a file, but it forms itself after a while of thinking about it.
And that's all in your head, like those five ideas on the one topic. Mm-hmm. You're just remembering them and weaving them together.
There's like 40,000.
They'll come at like backwards. they come backwards, because my first thing was I wanted to make fun of women and the women of today, the young women, and them, how they're shitty mothers and they're just upset, you know. So all those ideas will come. And then, like, the stuff about satanic mind control of women, that'll come in. And so that comes out. And then what they're doing to women and what women are talking about and what they look like. And then it'll just all form into a whole bit where I'm like, just go up there and talk about women. And I try it on stage and see if they'll like it.
Yeah.
You know, like I said last time I was on stage, how many witches are here tonight? You know, and they're all going for it. They all think they're a witch, you know? So then I just break it down from there.
You've got a better memory than I do.
Yeah, and I'm afraid because they say people with memories like mine, I have total recall.
Do you?
That's who gets the Alzheimer's.
Really?
Yeah, we're more at risk than...
Dang.
Yeah, so I'll probably end up shitting in the plants.
Well, I saw you shitting that plant over there.
Yeah.
You were welcoming me into your home.
You know what? One thing people don't know about your process, because I've been with you the whole time, is you're actually, I consider you like an editor. I think you like the sort of obsessive compulsive thoughts, and then you like to pare it down. I think you enjoy the editing process.
Oh, I do. I'm a great editor. I used to.
You are.
I love editing. Oh, my God, I do.
I think that's what you how you do comedy.
And are you talking
film.
Editing?
I like to edit film, too.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Both.
Yeah.
Both things.
Yeah.
Computer editing.
Like, I can take a script and when I was on Roseanne and just edit the shit out of it to get to the gold and then change this
She's
and make a joke out of it. I can make a Hollywood script funny.
Oh, you can.
I didn't know that was possible. No, it wasn't possible. I think that's why they fired me, because I think they hate Trump because he's funny, because they hate humor, because they have no humor.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why they went after me, because I came back and was number one again, 28 million viewers. And that people thought it was funny. And they're like, that bitch is funny.
Yeah.
We got to get rid of her ass because she tells truthful things.
Something that's actually funny. It's delivering truth.
Yes.
In one form or another, the truth principle in comedy, number one thing. And
they was mad when I beat up that kid. They were mad when I said, no, I got to beat her ass, because they didn't want me to beat the granddaughter's ass. But she was so disrespectful to my face in the scene. I go, there's no way that I'm just going to verbally admonish her.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat her ass. And I did. And they kept telling me that we can't have that. I go, you're going to have it. And I'm going to do it every time. I'm the executive producer of this show. And so they go, she's uncontrollable.
Well, and on that note, question for you, for a little context. I think of Tucker Carlson being fired by Fox.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked he lasted as long as he did.
I was too. I kept on saying that.
Yeah. And now it seems like he was taken out of a box where even just the view counts, him publishing his show on Twitter, sometimes
83 million.
Yeah. And sometimes I think 120 million views on one show.
Yeah.
And no restrictions, no one to answer to. He's not just on Fox. It's
He rose
world.
To the occasion too.
Yeah.
His content got even braver.
Yes. So I see someone like that. It appears as though, oh, this is bad. He got fired. I'd say, no, he was set free. Now he's going to be, already is way bigger. And I look at you in a similar light where I think you were set free when they fired you. And I'm curious if that's true for you.
Yeah, I look at it to where God took me out of Egypt and slavery. And I wandered in the desert for while, and then I was led into the promised land, which is true creative freedom, and I own it.
Yeah.
Now, nobody in a suit is going to come and tell me nothing. I mean, they'll take me to the gulag and probably whatever, but and fire me and get me deplatformed off. But I try to say good things. I always wanted to do that in my career, was to uplift rather than demean. I don't think demeaning people's funny.
No, it can get a, I would call it like, that's...
Except Lizzo.
Lobra.
You can get a laugh out of it, but yeah, you're bringing people down. So I love your mindset of using humor to uplift people, because people
breaks
need
chains.
It.
Breaks chains.
Meanwhile, every week we're talking about like child trafficking and like just horrible shit every week.
Tune in to the country.
Yeah,
the worst
this
thing
is
going
the most
on in the
uplifting
world.
Podcast
it is uplifting
on the internet.
To see how you got to fight the devil.
Yeah.
It's not uplifting to go, oh, I want to show that clip of Alex.
We got to talk about this more, but I think now's a good time to do this ad and then we'll get into it. Because we have to, he said so many good things at the beginning about kind of what you're talking about, Tucker, about...
I didn't interrupt him a lot.
No, you've been great.
You just interrupted Jake, though.
Yeah, she interrupts me. She didn't say she wasn't going
to. He weighed 10 pounds when I had him, so I don't have any... He has nothing.
Huh? The comments on this show, like 50% of the comments are, please let Jake finish his sentence. She's never going to. I love it. It's an honor to be interrupted by you. But anyway, let's take a little break. You've been chewing on this toothpick all episode.
I've had six of them.
I know. These are actually...
These are good. They help look at Zippix Toothpicks podcast script.
Yeah.
I'm just like Joe Biden now. This episode is brought to you by Zippix Nicotine Toothpicks. They bring you a totally satisfying, convenient, and great-tasting way to curb your nicotine cravings. I'm attesting to that. I've had six of them in this hour.
We get closer to the microphone.
Don't you think it's time you stop putting smoke and vape oils in your lungs? I do.
I do.
Now you can get your nicotine fix anytime, anywhere, without having to rely on smoking or vaping. These toothpicks give you an easier, healthier, and more discreet way to get your fix. They don't stink either. They're available in six great flavors, and they have options in 2 milligrams and 3 milligrams of nicotine. Zippix are perfect for flights, sporting events, restaurants, and literally everywhere else that smoking and vaping are banned. They're also one of the most cost-effective nicotine products on the market. Zippix also offers caffeine and B12 infused toothpicks if you're not a nicotine user or if you're trying to get away from your nicotine habit. These here are energy, caffeine, and B12 infused. I like them.
Yeah, they work.
Zippix have already helped tens of thousands of customers in leading a healthier lifestyle. And if you currently smoke or vape, they can probably help you too. Make your lungs happy. And try Zippix Nicotine Toothpicks. Ditch the cigarettes, ditch the vape, and get some nicotine-infused toothpicks at ZippixToothpicks.com today. Get 10% off on your first order by using the code Roseanne at checkout. Your lungs will be so glad you did. You must be 21 years old to order. Zip more, smoke less with Zippix Nicotine Toothpicks.
Don't. You're going to have a heart. You're going to have a heart attack like people that got vaccinated. Be careful. Allegedly.
You're going to have to erase that.
No, that was
good, though.
It's a great ad read, but we have to talk about it for a second, not for the ad, but because I really want...
Would you like one?
You should try one from the white bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those might have tobacco in them, though, JP.
No, wait. They don't all have...
No, it'll tell you. If it says it's a nicotine suspect...
I can't read. I have my glasses. Look at all these.
But I got to say, so they sent us these, and I have a problem with smoking.
Well, I don't think these have nicotine.
No, it'll tell... Those don't. Those are those are B12. I used these nicotine ones, Ma, and I didn't smoke for 3 days.
That's so great.
It really does work because it's like Nicorette or nicotine gum, but it doesn't stink.
I don't think the ones I've been eating have any nicotine, but they still help.
No, the ones with nicotine are strong. You'll feel it. You'll feel it in your throat, and it'll will curb your need for a cigarette. You should actually try one. I'm not even joking.
I haven't done the
Do the tobacco, one. But okay. It's strong. But what I like about
sweet wood, it says.
The important thing, why I like Zippix and this company, yeah, there you go, is vaping is actually, in my opinion, and a lot of doctors, worse for you than smoking cigarettes.
I told my daughter that. She goes, I don't smoke, I vape. I go, vaping is way worse.
It
and
is.
And then she got the big bulge eyes like AOC and,
yeah.
And what's his name?
She got the MK Ultra eyes from the vaping.
What makes vaping worse?
Well, it's liquid vape. It's there's things called pure popcorn nicotine. Lung. I don't know if you've heard of popcorn lung.
Yeah.
And then there is that is true. The bug eyes thing is, I mean, allegedly, but there is science to back it up. That it actually breaks down the muscles around your eyes, so you get like that Graves Barbara Bush look.
Wow.
My daughter got that.
But this is just so like this is just pure nicotine. What you're eating now, and pure nicotine, it's not. I'm not going to say, hey, it's great for you, but it's really not that bad. It's the shit in the cigarettes, the shit in the vape pens. That's what actually kills you.
Yeah, there's like 400 chemicals in a cigarette.
This is just pure nicotine, and it's...
I love it.
Watch, it'll get you through, so you don't have to stop the podcast to smoke now.
I've heard a neuroscientist talk about how just pure nicotine, it's actually good for the brain. It creates neurogenesis.
Yeah.
You know, taking it away from cigarettes, just nicotine. Yeah. I think there's something to it.
There definitely is. And bottom line, even if it's not good for you, nicotine's fucking awesome and I'm addicted. So if this is a better way for me, and plus I can chew this around my 2-year-old and not worry about secondhand smoke or her
wait
getting
till
addicted.
She starts chewing them.
She has her own. This is for Olivia. This is her own little, no, I'm just kidding. But they, Zippix also sends these cool little things where you can keep your toothpicks.
Yeah, it's burning my throat. I can
Yeah,
feel
it's
that.
Too strong. But anyway.
Well, let's eat.
Let's get back. No, we still have shit to talk about.
Oh, okay.
There's
good.
Not even here. It's really important that I ask JP like a couple questions.
If that's go okay. for it.
Well, you said a couple things that stood out to me early on when you were talking about how Satan disguises himself. And you said, of course, he's not going to come out and be like, yeah, I'm evil. I'm going to do sorts of evil shit. So it sounded to me that you were saying one flag of something to be wary of is if it comes in the cloak of being good for humanity, which is a difficult argument to make, but... Wouldn't you say that if Satan were going to be in the political sphere of America, that he probably would side more with the Democrat
with
Party?
With the communists.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about
Satan's
that a little bit?
Satan's a commie, I think, don't you?
Yeah, I do think communism is an expression of pure evil. You look at what they've done. They kill
millions
of people.
Yeah, let's get into it.
And they deprive people from freedom, their free will. So
owning anything.
Say that again.
Owning anything.
Owning anything. And
you'll be happy.
Communism, it tries to get you to make the government into your God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God probably wants you to just have God as your God.
Like right.
Everybody wins when that's the case. So I read, I'm going to slightly butcher the statistics, but it's going to be somewhat accurate. Since 1960s, the amount of Democrats who believe in God, the percentage has dropped dramatically. It was from like about 90%. Now it's 68%.
Wow.
Whereas you look at the Republicans and the statistics are, again, slight grain of salt here. Like 98% of Republicans in the 1960s believed in God. And now it's like 94, 92%. So slight drop there. But the Democrats, it's been a dramatic drop.
Right.
And I do think evil Satan, he'll go wherever he wants to go. And yes, there's so much corruption on, you know, in the Republican side of politics for sure.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. And in the future, I'm sure we'll see a ramp up where the major corruption's back with the Republicans.
The good old days.
The good old days. But as of now, it does seem as though... Satan's got his slimy little paw up the asses of Democrats, using them as puppets more so than Republicans.
Yeah, he switches it up to keep it like keep us off our toes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the pendulum swings and yeah, so you also look at a lot of Democrats in office, they're not Democrats, they're mm-mm. communists.
Yeah.
And there's no question about it. Communism is an expression of Satan. There's a reason why Communism 101, one of the first things they do is try to disconnect the population from God.
Right.
Ban religion, outlaw them, ban the Bible. You can't have another God if we want you to have the government as your God.
The China CCP. That's what they do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other thing is why they're so excited to get people to not believe in God is if you believe in God, then you certainly have a belief of some kind of afterlife. And if you have a belief in the afterlife, like, oh, I'll be with God forever, it's amazing, you're not going to fear death as much as an atheist view where this is it. Once the lights go out, they're out forever. There's nothing. You'll be much more controllable with the fear of death over you. And all the fear mongering, it's leveraging the fear of death. If you extrapolate it, like, hey, COVID's going to get you. Obviously, right. Climate change. Well, you're concerned about the climate? No, you're really concerned about we're all going to die. We're all going to boil to death if we don't change the climate. So they leverage the fear of death over people, and it works way better. You're able to control more people when they don't have a firm belief in God.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I do think the devil is working more through the Democratic side.
Also, you're not thinking big picture. You're not thinking like, oh, there's a plan here. It's just like, I got to do whatever they tell me. I got to get through tomorrow.
Yeah.
God, if you have God, you think longer term. You think bigger
scale. Also, you don't think God made a mistake and put you in the wrong body.
That's huge. That's a huge one right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's anger at God. I never thought about that. Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can...
It separates kids from God.
Oh my God, you're onto something. Yeah.
And I think if you can get people to largely believe, yeah, sometimes God makes mistakes, put me in a man's body, but I'm actually a woman. Mm-hmm. I actually know more than God. God made a mistake. Mm-hmm. This isn't me making a mistake.
Thank God for Klaus Schwab and Monsanto. They'll correct God's mistakes for me.
They're kind of playing it that way, aren't mm-hmm. they? So if you get people to believe you can be born in the wrong body, even if you're not discussing God in the conversation, subliminally, you're getting the message across, there isn't really a God. Because if there was a God, he's not going to mistakenly put people in the wrong body.
Right.
So I do, like, it's just like that.
That must be why they've glommed onto the trans movement so much. Allegedly, that's a good theory, at least.
Yeah, I do think it's a part of it. I do think it's a
psyop.
It's very much a psyop.
On Twitter, it's a big psyop, and they've targeted me for years over and over. I just finally quit listening. But, it gets people talking about something that you don't have to know one thing in the world, no background, no education. You don't have to know anything to parrot the lines they give you. And then you'll take your eyes off China building missile launchers in Cuba right now. You'll never know about that. Yeah. You won't be interested in that.
Yeah.
Or the next pandemic. Or counting the votes fairly. You won't care none of that because you'll say, you're a cis.
Yeah.
You'll know all that, but you won't have a day's worth of education to get there.
Yeah.
Because it's false science. It has no peer review nor control group. It's fake I call it Monsatan science.
Yeah.
They're all like bought off, and it's really horrible that they would have weaponized science.
Speaking of which, do you know who Neil deGrasse Tyson is?
Yeah,
that have guy. You been listening to any of the BS he's been saying lately?
Yeah, he's 100% BS.
That guy, he's sold out. Here he is.
They got to him.
Like a man of science.
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be. I think he's still smart. He's just willing to look stupid because he's saying stupid things to do the bidding of his masters.
Which is smart because that's what's going to keep him funded and working. I mean,
we're getting
deplatformed and ruined, and he's out there probably making an extra $3 million a year by saying
probably, but yeah. He has to go to sleep with himself every night.
I don't think it bothers any of them.
I don't think so either. Because
they're like, cha-ching.
Well, if it's all Satan.
I'm getting me a new car. Cha-ching. They don't care.
They don't.
They don't care about the lives they ended or screwed up.
Or worse, they think that they're, this is what I was trying to get at, they think that they're protecting a victimized class. They're stepping up for people that are being abused. So that is a good intention, but the road to hell is paved in good intentions. And for a scientist to be pushing this sort of agenda because he thinks, oh, I'm helping trans kids that are struggling in school. I know that's what he's thinking.
Yeah, I'm helping trans boys never to have an arm.
But, back in Nazi Germany,
mm-hmm, people... They were helping with the trains on time.
Yeah, people turning their neighbors in thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were helping.
Well, that's what I'm tying
as
up.
My Uncle Sherman just departed this earth, his famous thing he used to say to us kids when we said, I thought I was doing the, he goes, you know what thought did? That's what he always tell us kids. You thought you had to fart, but you shoot your pants.
Wisdom right there. But, you know, even though there's all this weaponized morality trying to get people to do the right thing that's actually a destructive thing, or you get a useful idiot like Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think a good way to inoculate ourselves from not propagating evil that's disguised as angelic activity is, one, do our own critical thinking.
Yeah.
Two, be very in touch with our heart, our conscience, conscience, our soul. Because, like, they can't censor that. Mm-hmm. You can be distracted from it, but if you're in touch with your heart, your mm-hmm. conscience, at the very least, you'll be like, something feels off here. Mm-hmm. You don't need to explain it more than that. You just know something feels off here. And then once you do that, you have the awareness of it. If you've got a little bit of courage, then you can act on that instead of acting on the useful idiot track.
Right. I always thought it was about nobody can stop you from getting better. That's and if you get the desire or the fear that you can't get better or more learned or more intelligent, then that tells you something. Because you should always be trying to grow.
Yeah, we're humans. I don't care who you are, what your circumstances are. We're more powerful than we think we are.
Yeah, we are. We definitely are.
And they, the Klaus Schwabs of the world, I don't think they want us in touch with that power.
No.
Because it's much easier to have power over people when people forget how dang powerful they actually are and how they're connected to a higher power, which is beyond imagination.
Yeah, powerful. They don't know what that is.
They don't.
They don't have the foggiest idea about the human spirit. They don't know what it is.
Yeah. What do you think Klaus Schwab is doing right now? Like on a...
I like that Trump said it's central casting, because it is. I mean, he looks like they got central casting to get a guy that talks like that and does what he does.
Even his outfits. With that have you seen his doll, outfits?
His boyfriend, that Yiv Dahl dude.
Oh, Dr. Noah Hural Harari?
Yeah. Igor.
Yeah, it's like an Austin Powers sequel.
It is. It's central casting.
Yeah.
We will be the gods.
You will eat crickets.
I mean, it is Austin Powers.
It's like, pull that back, guys. Yeah. You're kind of being a little too obvious. Just get a boring dude in a suit. They're like, no, we're going all in.
Yeah.
We got Schwab.
For the drama. Remember that guy that was the... I can't remember. The one that was in the pro shot guy. And then they had those videos of him at that party in the bikini pants. The big UN guy, the CDC head.
I never saw that.
Guy from India.
I have to look that up.
He's all over TV telling us about that we got to do this and that for our health. And then they caught a video of him at a big gay party and he's in the bikini pants. That's why I love Anons, because they'll always find the hidden bikini pants party videos, and it's just so mockingly great, because it really is the time where we got to go, hey, the emperor has no damn clothes. He's walking around here naked, slinging his schlong in everybody's face. Go back home, sir, and put on your pants and stay there. Right?
Yes. And speaking of no pants, did you see the picture of Klaus Schwab on the beach wearing, it's like a thong and it's like a BDSM outfit? Super
was
cool.
Was it real for sure, or was it Photoshop?
They don't have the technology to Photoshop pictures nowadays. So I am confident it's real.
I'm
because
confident it's
I
real
want
too.
It to be real.
Yeah.
It's all you need. Belief.
You just have faith. Belief.
Yeah. It's faith.
Just like the pictures of Michelle Obama's junk.
Well, those weren't pictures. That was actually a video. That's a little harder to do when she was dancing on
did
Ellen.
Did you see that?
I didn't see the Ellen dancing one.
Well, let me see if I can find it. Hold
no.
on.
No. We don't want to die.
Did you? Yeah.
I seen her I'm going into my country speak from Utah. But I saw her where she came out of dropping her girls off at Columbia or wherever it is, some MK Ultra college they go to, funded by Jeffrey Epstein and Weinstein and all the Steens. And she came out there and, you know, she had to itch her balls. Did you see that one?
I have
seen
that one.
She had white sweatpants on. She had to pull the sweatpants off her balls. But I think she's a woman.
Allegedly. Because
I don't think any man could be that big of a bitch. I just don't. I don't think she's a
man. You've convinced me.
But the plot does thicken now on Michelle Obama being a man because...
He said he makes love to men every day in his imagination.
Yeah. Which makes sense that he would actually want to be with a man every day. So,
well, I think
it's scientific proof.
Well, when I seen those pictures of him, I'm going to the Utah Hillbilly, pardon me. I saw those pictures of him with Richard Branson on that boat.
Interesting, yeah.
See, and they was fake choking each other. That's pure BDSM. And then, allegedly. And I go, those two boys are in love. And then he was with George Clooney on a boat with a little Asian girl. Did you see that one?
No.
Yeah, that's something you should look that up. But I go, oh, all three of them are involved in a three-way. Him, Richard Branson, and George Clooney. Allegedly. But that's how it looks to me because that is how Hollywood works. All the guys are gay. Every one of them. There's none that are straight except for John Travolta and Tom Cruise. But, you know, they're all gay. And all the women are lesbians. And they're all witches, too. They're all in a covenant.
I think they're above sex because it's Satan is what they're attracted to. I don't think it's sexual.
And why do you,
allegedly.
Why do you think they're all gay? Does Hollywood turn them gay? Or is that part of, like, power?
It's part of acting. It's the definition of acting. I'm going to act like I'm not gay.
That is where they develop the skill, though. Because they've been in the closet their whole life. They develop the talent.
They come from small towns where they don't like the gays.
Also, they also do jump you into the gang of Hollywood. Let's be real. Travolta's on tape with his masseuse trying to get the masseuse to give him a hand job. And he's like, do you want to be an actor? This is what I had. This is a true story, by the way. I don't know if you guys
saw it.
No, this is true.
Allegedly. It's true.
Well, the guy claimed it. But he said, this is what I had to do. This is what I had to do to get in Hollywood. And I mean,
of course they do.
Apparently he did it well because
he's very famous.
Yeah, you don't get in Hollywood without that. You know, I didn't have to. Nobody ever wanted to have sex with me. So it was lucky for me.
You were the exemption.
God prepared a way for me by making me have no ass waist or any sort of female shape. So I was immune. But everybody else I knew, they was willingly doing it, not getting blackmailed into it. They was all a bunch of whores, men and women. They couldn't wait. Like, they couldn't wait to be in a movie with somebody because they knew they was going to have sex with them. And their spouse knew they was, too, because that's part of doing a movie. And their spouse, because I was real nosy and always asking questions. That's why nobody likes me. But I'd say, how can you do it? Well, it's just part of, you know, what he does when he's on a film. Well, is he ever home? Well, no, he's always doing a film. Well, how are you okay with that? Well, I have my pool boy and this and that. That's what it is. They're all swingers.
Interesting.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's my empirical.
On that note, I am looking forward to Mel Gibson's documentary where he's allegedly going to be exposing the Hollywood sex trafficking ring. Mm-hmm. That man, assuming he delivers on what he says he's going to deliver, that man's putting his life on the line.
Yeah, and he's doing it through Ukraine. He's telling the Ukrainian part of it, too. Trafficking through the Ukraine.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a great man.
He's going to commit suicide to the back of the head.
No, he's a real deep believer. Yeah, I think he's got God's hand on him. He's got some protection. A lot of people pray for him, too.
Well, I would think he'd be protected and certainly doing God's work with what he's going to be doing and had some level of a hand in Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, he did. He edited the film they showed, he edited it.
Did he?
Wow. Yeah, because it was a lot different than the original. They took a lot of fat out. He's a good editor.
And Disney sat on, they bought the film, sat on it for 5 years mm-hmm. to keep it from seeing the light of day.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all do that, you know.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah, that is all.
That's all you need to know about certain companies.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, they bought it to kill it. Isn't that crazy?
It, and somehow not surprising. But to me, the only thing that surprises me about things like that is how obvious they are.
Yeah, what they're doing. They put it right in your face. That's their whole thing. They yeah. got to put it in your face. And then when you don't say nothing, they go, well, you knew.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that before we wrap up? Because that's actually a satanic tenet that we yeah. need to expose on this show. That's their version of consent.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know this? Oh, you already knew
I've heard it, but say more.
No, it's like they make it so overt, and then if you don't have a problem with it or say something to them, that's consent. They can keep going forward. That's, mm-hmm. I guess, the satanic.
Well, we put it right in their face, and they said nothing, so, you know, they don't care.
Yeah. And apparently that same kind of satanic consent ritual was used with everybody's favorite pharmaceutical product.
I think you can say that on YouTube, right?
No.
I'll edit that out. The whatever, we know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's insane.
Well, that we were all like, we're just prey. We've proven that we'll do anything. Yeah. There's nothing we won't do.
Are you guys ready for this next COVID lockdown? You know what you're going
to
do?
I'm excited for it.
Me too. I heard they want us to, this time they want us to wear a mask over our eyes.
<It's>, what percentage of people do you think will, you know, with the next one, weirdly, just in time for the election, I guess we need to do mail-in ballots,
that's
guys.
Right.
Sorry, I wish we didn't have.
You got to have those again.
You know, if. Yeah, what percentage of people compared to last time do you think will actually go along with the whole lockdown ritual?
The exact same percentage.
I was
going to
say
more.
The same thing.
You think so?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they'll say this one's going to be worse.
And what if they actually do make it worse?
They probably are. They're working on it.
Because the last one was.
I had COVID 4 times. It was nothing. It was a walk in the park.
Yeah.
I never would have got it if I didn't quit smoking. My kid says, you better quit smoking because, you know, it's a lung disease, COVID. So I quit smoking, immediately got COVID. Then I read cigarette smoking helps you from getting COVID.
Oh, you're just looking out for your health.
So then I started smoking again, and I never did get COVID. But I had it 4 times when I wasn't smoking.
Yeah.
These dirty bastards, it's all just a plot to keep me on the cigarettes. But, you know, it is all a trap, which we're rats in a maze, and they're just studying how we get out of the maze or attempt to, but there's really no doors that open.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say this as a fan of both of yours, and we can wrap up, is that what you both do is really the way that we can fight back. Because you're like, what if they make COVID worse? Or what we all kind of feel powerless, the laymans like myself, the non-celebs like you two, is that seeing you guys talk about it and mock it, and like we always talk about, mocking is really the best weapon against this evil regime that's going
on.
Just keep doing what you guys are doing.
Whatever you do, COVID or no COVID, keep supporting live comedy. Because, you know, you might, if you're going to die, you might as well die laughing.
Absolutely. And you can't be in a state of fear and laughing at the same time.
That's a good point.
And I think laughter, it's sort of like God's tickle coming through and touching our lives.
Mm-hmm. It opens you up to truth.
It does.
It does. I had something else I wanted to say before we...
Oh, did you... You mentioned...
Oh, I wanted you to show the Alex Jones. It's so genius.
Give me one second.
Let's see it.
He's mocking on the nth degree. It was godly. I wanted you to see it.
And you said you've been on the show a couple times now?
Yeah, I always go on there and pray for people to wake up, and even for the bad people to get a spark of God and open up, come back to the human beings.
I think that praying for the bad people, it's not only beautiful, I think it's necessary.
Yeah,
probably
it is.
Like an overlooked thing. Like if we all prayed for Bill Gates and
Biden
to like get in touch with their soul.
Mm-hmm. if they have one, if there's anything left that can be salvaged or turned on, the humans will welcome them back after they make restitution, if that's possible, or they're taken from this world. At least they'll go with a clear conscience.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, here it is. You guys ready?
Watch this.
I'm going to have to watch it twice because I don't know where it's coming from.
Liberal, 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 happy fun, la la la, human smuggling, fentanyl deaths, forced government euthanasia, chopping up children's genitals, la 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. Liberal.
Liberal.
That should be the DNC campaign song.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, they're probably like, dude, that is pretty good.
We would like to license that. That's exactly our message.
That's really good, guys.
Isn't that great?
Oh, Alex Jones. He's a treasure.
He is a treasure. He's the reason anyone's woke up.
Yeah.
He did it all alone.
Dude, he was decades before his time. Like, so much of what he's... Like, he was calling out Epstein back in the early 2000s.
Yeah. And Bohemian Grove, he broke that story. No, he's legit. There. Yeah.
I don't know how he possibly knows the things that he knows.
Because he talks to people. His dad was connected.
Was he? Was he connected in like the government, CIA kind of thing?
In there. Yeah, he worked in the Navy or something. I can't remember. But he worked for the government. The good guys. Some of them are good, you know.
I'm sure some are.
Yeah, and I heard that a lot of the good guys are arresting the bad guys right next to them, which is cool, because that's God. See, that's why I'm hopeful.
I'm glad you're hopeful. I'm hopeful, too. I see just a critical mass of people waking up, and the more the tyrants do, the more they're just raising their hand. You see what they're doing. I think they're strengthening the things they try to smear. Yep. Like RFK Jr., the more they smear him, the more credible he is, the more people are waking up to him. Same thing with Trump. They smear the Sound of Freedom. It just gets massive. So
they smeared me, and, you know, but I'm too bitter to quit. Too bitter to quit.
I call it the Obi-Wan effect. Remember in Star Wars? If you strike me down, when Darth Vader strikes down Obi-Wan, and he says, if you kill me, I'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine. That's what they keep doing. They just keep making you guys bigger and stronger and more people listen to you. It's actually the nicest thing they could do for all of you is the cancel culture. It's the best gift.
Well, that brings me to some more stuff about Satan that's in the Bible.
And you need then to get we'll to the end on that microphone a little bit closer.
This microphone? Yeah. No, can we end on this and then of eat? Course. I'm starving.
Yeah.
Here's the real paradox of things. Who is the being that brings the most people to God?
Probably the devil, actually. Yeah.
When people are broken and he's ruined them and they got nowhere else to go, that's where they go.
Yeah.
So it's all...
Oh, so maybe Biden's a good thing.
I think he's woke up so many people, and they say that the black youth are leaving in droves, and I see them all over YouTube, too. They finally escaped that mind control.
Yeah.
Because they thought they owned them.
It's weird how a bunch of old white guys doing the devil's bidding absolutely did think they owned the black community, the black youth. And Biden literally said it out loud.
Yeah, he did. Well, you ain't
news,
black.
But... Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was on with Charlemagne the God, you ain't black.
Oh, I loved when Larry Elder went on Charlemagne and dressed him down for not saying nothing about it.
I haven't watched that clip. It's on my list. It's good.
Yeah. He does it with a fierce pride and dignity. It's just great because he breaks that media mind control. I'd love to have him on here.
He's down. I've talked to him.
He's always been nice to me, too.
He's great, and we will have him on. I love Larry Elder. I supported his run for governor in California.
He's running for president now.
The best thing, do you remember when he was running for governor during the recall election in Newsom and some white liberal woman put on a monkey mask and threw a banana at him?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
No.
And they accused Larry Elder.
Because he was a white supremacist. That's what she said.
Yeah, and they say he's a white
supremacist. She put on a monkey mask and threw a fucking banana at a black governor candidate.
She my God.
She was the anti-racist in that
one. That's like men telling women they can't have the term mothers.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's all that double backwards day upside down bill.
Well, yep, that's so they co-opt you and they do it and then they fuck with you and you go, what am I? That's, I think that's their version of consent.
Oh, yeah.
That's how I think they did it. This is so absurd. Surely everybody else sees this, so I don't even need to say it. And then you don't say it, and then they keep doing it. We have to just keep calling out.
We have to always say, stay out of my ass.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you wrap up. And we do have to do the gold real quick.
Oh.
Do you want to do it?
No, you do the gold, I'll do it real quick. Let me say this. Yeah. I always want to do a whole show about how Cleopatra moved her gold away from Rome through the Jews to Jerusalem. And gold is destroying the Fed, and gold is the hope of all of humanity. So let's tell people how they can save what little wealth they have.
Well, yeah, if you want to protect your wealth, there's investments and stuff, but if you actually want to protect your wealth, the smartest thing you can do right now is put some form of your money, some amount in precious metals, because they can't really take that yet. So we suggest, and they are an ad sponsor of ours, but it's bh-pm.com, Beverly Hills Precious Metals. Andrew was a guest on our show. Go there.
It's sign a lot up. Better than paper money.
It's a million times better than paper money because you can always move it back and you can actually like roll over your IRA into precious metals. Like they can do it all. So all you got to do is go to this website, do a free consultation, whatever you want. Just say that Roseanne sent you. And it's been working. A lot of people have been protecting their wealth. We've been very happy with
that. Better
numbers
have
we've
some
seen.
Gold bars and paper.
And yeah, say the zombie apocalypse happens, everything shuts down, hungry feral people on your front lawn. If you just have cash, that's not going to help you. It doesn't have actual value. But if you have gold bars, you can club those people right
yeah,
in the face.
Exactly.
Skull fractures.
Yeah.
You are protecting your family's future.
Absolutely.
With gold.
That is through the weapon. I didn't even
in
think
a
about
long
that.
Gym sock.
Yeah. That's a really good point. Gold's too soft. That's why you got to go to silver. Or is it the other way around?
But it'll take out someone who's trying to steal your shit.
That's such a good point. I never thought of paper money you can't use as a weapon.
No, you throw it at best, you're irritating
toilet
people.
Paper. You can use it for toilet paper.
All right. Well, if you want to wrap up, Mom.
Thank you so much. You are a wonderful person and a blessing for me to sit and talk with. I hope you're hungry and I hope you likes meat.
Oh, thank you, Roseanne. Yes, I actually... I eat meat, but I identify as a vegan, so I'm going to really enjoy the barbecue.
Good. Absolutely.
And thank you for having me on
thank
again, sister.
Coming.
It's a pleasure to be here with you.